I don't usually get all these compliments, and I guess you got a pen, I let the air out of my chest. You've been so nice. I don't even think Dr. Howell's ever treated me as nice as y'all have treated me here, although he did treat me nice. And so, I really am thankful for what you've done, for the servicemen, and for the flag. I'll never forget this. I'll proudly display that. And I meant what I said about the flag.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And so I'd have some respect back for us. And so, but anyway, let me get to the message and tell you, there's no earthly way to explain Russell Anderson except God.
Amen.
Those of you who were not in Sunday school, I'm from eastern part of Kentucky. Just take Route 23 south and go through Ohio. And so through Columbus, Portsmouth, Chillicothe, and then into Ashland, Kentucky. And so then 90 miles south of Ashland, up 23. And so I left the coal mines, no education, no college. I built 10 college. By the way, anybody here from Philippines today? Pastor, you said you had people in the Philippines. I built Philippines. Any Filipinos here? Oh, don't be ashamed. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now I'm going to sing you a song. She's my Filipino baby. Do I love her, Lordy Law? Her pappy came from Texas, her mom from Arkansas. I built over 700 buildings in Iloilo. I mean over Iloilo. I preached there last September, October. I had two bodyguards with pistols right outside my door when I slept. That's the only way I'd go. But I just want to let you know, God has been so good. Then imagine from Kentucky, went to Michigan, never heard the gospel, got saved, heard about Jesus Christ, the greatest gift I ever heard about in my life. I got on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins and save me. And so no church can do it. You join every church in the world if you're visiting. A church can't save you. Jesus died for you. He's the only one that can save you. And then I got saved. And so, and then, Pastor, again, I'd like to thank you for letting me come. I count it a great honor to be here today in your pulpit and your people. I said this in Sunday school, but it bears repeating. Helen Keller was asked one time who was blind, what could be worse than being blind? And she said, having eyes with no vision. I have a message on that. Having eyes and have no vision. And so we should not soon forget what God has done for us in our division. I'm so thankful for the pastor and the vision you people had for senior land. I'm all excited. I like to see things going. When I made the first $1 million, I didn't sit down and say, hey, I'm just going to sit down and sit, soaking sour. I realized, listen, the God that gave me the first million can give me the second million if I would continue to do the things I did to make the first million.
Amen.
So I didn't quit on God. I got the Bank of Heaven open, and I'm here today. If you come tonight, and I'd love to show you how that you can get more money out of God. I learned how to get money out from God.
Amen.
I know the formula. So He's revealed some things to me, and I want to teach them. In 1999, I made $2,432,000. I go on my knees and I said, "Dear God, I made all the millions," and I said, "The pay's big enough, but the job's not." I said, "You can have it all back. I give you all this back, 457 housing apartments. I'll just go around the country bragging what you did through an uneducated coal miner." And I said, if you do it. And God took me up on it. And so I said, all right. So I started getting rid of the bill. I got all the real estate out now back into his work, 457 housing, except one building. He's got 10 apartments, 3 office buildings. I'm about ready to pay somebody to take it off my hands. It's up in Michigan, and here I was, 77 years old, up there last year trying to find out where a leak was coming through. I don't need that. And so, but it's in, but except God did it. But, and so there's no explanation except I claim the promises of God, and they're available to all of us. And that I'm excited about. I'll not soon forget about what you all have done here and the vision you have. And all over, often when I look and say, Pastor, doing something like this, I realize I've got a watch here that's got hands on it, but there's a lot of little springs in the back of it that keeps those hands turning. And that's what you've got, a lot of hands behind you.
Yeah.
Boy, keep backing it. I like the vision here. I like the past. What is success? I noticed the pastor's daughter singing today. I looked over and saw his wife playing the piano and him preaching. His children, I gather all around and see them in church. And that's success.
Yeah.
Amen. That's success. Show me in the Bible. Give me a Bible verse where it says be a success, you have to make a lot of money. A successful family is a family whose lives are on the altar serving God.
Yes.
Teaching their children and serving God. And so that speaks volume to me. That's success to me. And so to start the message, I'm going to tell you a story, illustration. I had all those apartments, and I had a lady that worked for me, cleaning apartments, and she and her husband lived in one of my apartments. And she came in one day, Pastor, and he was reading a paper, sitting on the couch. She took the paper out of his hand and sat down in his lap. And she said, honey, do you love me? Yes, I love you. She said, you haven't told me in a long time. Would you hug me and tell me? And he hugged her. Said, honey, I do love you. She said, I want you to kiss me and tell me that. So he pulled her again, put a lip lock on her, kissed her, and said, honey, I do love you. She said, I'm so glad that you love me because I just wrecked the car. Now, I'm not preaching. I'm telling the truth. But it fits in with my message today. It fits in my message today. I was advising, and I found this letter a while ago here. I told the young people today in Sunday school they ought to write God a letter. And so here's another one I wrote in 5/12/09, less than a month, 18 days, or no, 25 days ago. Dear Lord, I want to thank you this morning. Oh, I wrote up here, it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. God has no pets. God has no favorites. If I hired everyone you to come to work, I'd have no favorites. I'd pay you according to what you did for me. I'd make foremen out of those who worked the extra 10 minutes to make sure that the guy who followed you had it right. I'd pay you for good work that you done. I'd pay you for compliments that I receive on you. And that's exactly the way God works. And I right there, right, I'm telling you how to get in God's pocketbook. And so no secret, what God, dear Lord, I want to thank you this morning for honoring and blessings. It's a great honor for you to let a 78-year-old man travel and speak in churches. I would like to rededicate my life to serve you and want to do thy will. And if I'm doing anything you don't like, Holy Spirit, please reveal it to me and I'll confess the sin. Lord, please continue to give me or fill me with thy power that I may bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as I know, you are number one in my life. I have no little gods that I love more than you. I gave you 362 apartments at one time and I give Dr. Howells $8.6 million when I did that. And 35 houses, condos, 11 condos in Hawaii. And last condo in Hawaii, I made $1,700,000. I gave it all to you. Never even got a cup of coffee, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to get a milkshake.
Amen. Amen.
With peanut butter in it. I dare you to try vanilla ice cream with peanut butter in it. I dare you. You ever seen a pig sucking a sow? But the kids will do it. In back of my Jaguar, I got a pig. Do you see that sow hog back of my Jaguar? I got a sow hog with 8 or 10 pigs sucking. Nursing is a $2 word for it. Dear Lord, please continue to give me wisdom to make more money to support your work. Boy, I just got stopped there. Just let me tell you what a great God is there. December the 20th, I have it written down. I said, dear God, I got all the money I want. I don't need any more money. I got enough money to have my wife fixed twice, her hair fixed twice a week. If I die, I said, she can get fixed twice a week, and I've left her $800,000 retirement fund. She can get her a banker for a husband. And so I said, I got all the money I need. Now listen, what a God we serve. I said, now God, I'd like to make some more money for you. I said, give me a wisdom. I just stock market is going haywire. I don't know. But let me make some money. I invested $34,000, and a few days later, I read an article on Peabody Energy. It's on New York Stock Exchange. It's on Peabody Energy. And don't you do something about it. I'm telling you now. I'll tell you what I did. That's between you and God what you do, not between me and Russell Anderson. So I'm about to tell you. I said, I put $34,000. It was $80-some dollars a ton, the Peabody coal was, and it was down to 17. I bought it. I put $34,000 and bought 2,000 shares. January the 5th, 1 month later, I sold it and made $20,600. I was in a certain place where the church has a need for money. I said, you know, I told him, I said, God, I told you. I told him, it's the first time I've told him. And just a few days after I made the $20,600. And I said, now, I'd like to double this money. Let me show you how you can double your money. I give you $20,600 if you'll double it. And they doubled it. In fact, they went $23,000. I put in a $2,400 tip and made $46,000 out of that. But God let me make. Then, okay, let's just take it on. Let me show you, forget God. Now, you're talking to, hearing an uneducated coal miner talk. I don't know about balance sheets and Ford Motor Company. I started buying Ford Motor Company just about 8 weeks ago, nine. It got down as low as $1.45 a share.
Right.
And I bought it. And so I sold, and then I sold out about 3 weeks ago and made $65,000.
Amen.
Huh? I sold General Electric stock Friday and made $5,000. See what a God we serve? Now, that's not me. That's me putting God first.
Amen.
I'm telling God, I want to make it for you. Huh? I have my motives right. See, if I wanted motives to get it here and here and every pocket and let the poor and not support his work, that's a different thing. Some of you look like I'm making you mad. I'm just giving testimony of what God did.
Amen.
I told you, the Bible says make known his deeds among his people. They call me a bragging. You think Nehemiah bragged in Nehemiah chapter 5, said, Lord, out of my pocketbook, I fed 150 Jews every day besides the visitors came by. Huh? You think Solomon bragged when he, in 1 Kings chapter 3, when he sacrificed 3,000 animals? He shouldn't have mentioned 3,000. He's bragging. Huh? I just say I get a little flack sometimes. Dear Lord, please continue to give me wisdom to make more money, support your work. Now, that was May the 12th, and since then I made 65 and another 5,000 yesterday. Sometimes I think there's a God in heaven who loves us. What do you think?
Huh?
Lord, please show what I can do the rest of my life that would count. Now, here's what you ought to pray. Lord, what can I do with my life to count the most for Christ?
Yes.
What can I do the rest of my life? Of course, I'm getting up in years, and so, and Sue, food 516-09 food. Greensboro, North Carolina, preached 6 times. That's enough. If that doesn't make you believe this God in heaven loves you, then I don't know. Okay, now, as I travel throughout, I've started 7 businesses, and I start one, and God give me the wisdom to make another, and end up with 7, end up with the largest taxpayer in my town, Ypsilanti, Michigan. Personally, I was the largest taxpayer, large property owner. And so, then, because of that, there's a lot of people calls me for counsel. And you don't have to go through 500 secretaries and 600 engines. A lot of little preachers and a lot of businessmen to get 10 men for them, and they want you to go through dial this, dial that, the extension here. Right here is my number. He's got it. And you don't have to go through any engines to get to me. Okay? And so I advise a lot of businessmen, and they call and ask me my advice on the business and that. And there's one man down in Florida I met, and he and his wife driving a $50,000 automobile. How do you get happy? I said, get involved more in the church. That's what I do. I said, buy some buses and pick up bus boys and girls. And I bought over 100 buses. And so, I won't go to a church that don't run buses.
Amen.
If you don't care anything for the poor, you're not going to get my money.
Amen.
And so if you don't care for the poor, I lost my train of thought. If you're not going to get my money, you got to be running buses. And so I told him to get involved in running churches, buses, and he did. And he called me for advice about his business, him and his wife involved in. And I tell him, and he called me bragging all the time, said, thank you for that. It's working. And we're happier now than we've ever been before. We're in the church. I'm telling you, I don't care how happy you are, you'll be happier in the church.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you, if you're not having problems, just come to the church. Just let him. Sunday morning, Sunday night, 7 successful businesses, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night I was in church, and so when 2 nights a week.
Amen.
And so putting God first. And so then down, he's paid me a lot of confidence. Then one night the phone rang at about almost 10 p.m. I was in a different state, I think Tennessee speaking, and this man asked me this question. He said, Brother Anderson, said, I want to thank you for all your advice to me, and said, I want to thank you for all the advice, and I'm real happy. And said, but he said, I have a question for you. And here's what he said. It relates back to the story I told you about the car wreck. The woman said, I'm glad you love me because I just wrecked the car. Here's what he asked me, Pastor. He said, Brother Anderson, how can I fall in love with Jesus? I went silent for a few days. He said, Brother Anderson, he said, I'm sincere. I'm honored. How can I fall in love with Jesus the way you have? Boy, that caused a self-examination. Later on, I wrote God a little note, and I said, God, I don't know if that's true or not, but I want it to be true.
Amen.
I want it to be true. I want people to think and know that I love you more than anything else in life.
Amen.
And so, and just to prove it, I've given you, going on $37 million now. Now, I would not give my wife $37 million. She'd run off with a banker, man. Don't that show, that goes to show I'm God's number one in my life.
Amen.
And the Bible said, now, my wife has anything she wants. I'm good to her. And so, but said, how can I fall in love with Jesus? Someone said, if your Christian attitude is contagious, is yours worth catching?
Yeah, right.
Boy, that caused an examination. So I went back home on Monday night, Pastor, and then Monday, and then Monday night I went to bed. Tuesday morning I woke up at 3:30 a.m. thinking about what he asked me. How can I fall in love with Jesus? And now I got to thinking about the scripture verses, and at 4:18 I got up and I said, I ought to prepare a message on that. So I'm speaking this morning on how can we fall in love with Jesus again. I prepared a message on it. And so the Bible says this, Mark 12:30, and John chapter 21, where I'm going to in a minute. You don't turn your Bibles, John chapter 21. I'll take a text in a few minutes. But Mark 12:30 said, how... And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart,
amen,
with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And so it says here that if we love God, he's be number one in our life if God is going to use us. How can I fall in love with Jesus Christ? Now, we need to examine ourselves, and I'm going to read you something here. You don't have to turn to it. I already got it marked here. I can read it, I think, before you find it. It says here, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write these things, saith he. He that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven times. I know. Now, here's what God said about the church. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. In other words, you don't run into the wrong crowd. And said you have patience. And said you can't bear to be around the wrong crowd and handle the wrong kind of talk. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles or not, and hast found them liars. And thou hast patience for my name's sake. Thou hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? What would he have against the church? Because I have left thy first love. Now, I want to ask you this morning, how's your love life with Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
What are you doing to Jesus Christ that your neighbor, your friends, and where you go knows that you love Jesus more than you do anything this world has to offer? I can search my heart and life and know God has, and he knows it, and he can have anything that he wants that I have. And I'm preparing to die broke. If my wife goes first, I hope, Pastor, you have to pray for my burial. Because after we're dead and gone, what good is the money to us? Huh? I'd hate to have to die and meet God with a lot of money in the bank. And by the way, let me tell you this, senior. We should not get God if God's blessed us in our wills or a trust. You see me in private, I'll tell you, the worst thing you can do is die without a will. The second worst thing you can do is die with one. But the best thing you can do is have a trust. If I died right now, my wife would have money in 7 days placed in her hand. I've gotten a trust, don't have to have an attorney involved, don't have to be probated or anything. It's a trust, revocable living trust. And my checkbook right here says Russell Anderson Revocable Living Trust. And my cars, my Jaguars, and Russell Anderson Revocable Living Trust, it don't have to be probated. It goes right, and then in my trust, I say what I want done with it. And I've got God in my trust, too. It took my wife and three daughters. And so I didn't leave them millions of dollars and like that. So I taught my girls to work, and they're making their own money. And so, but, so therefore, he had something against us because we had lost our first love, you see. Now, in John chapter 21, I'm going to read a text there. In John chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I go a-fishing." They said to him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship. Immediately that night, they caught nothing. And so, they must have had their wives with them. They didn't catch it. You know why wives don't make good fishing partners? Let me teach you men something. You know why they don't make good fishing companions? Because they complain about the one they caught and brag about the ones that got away. Now, that's a little deep. Some of you are frowning at me right now. But if you're around me much, I enjoy life. I'm going to make you laugh or you can go home. Why not? I'm going to enjoy my life. You can be an old sour puss if you want to and frown. Yeah. I don't care. So, hey, I'll tell you why you're frowning. If you love Jesus enough, you'd be laughing.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you and Jesus, not me. Amen. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And so they caught nothing. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any meat?" And answered them all. And he answered and said, "Cast a net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." They cast therefore. And now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of the fishes. And now if you go up to verse 11, "And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. Now any good fisherman knows how many they catch. But it's a bad thing to ask, "Man, how many you caught?" "When you caught all night and caught nothing." And so, and then... Jesus, verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." Jesus did the cooking there, the fish. And so, they come to the shore. And then verse 13, "Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them likewise, and fish likewise." This now is the third time Jesus showed himself to disciples. And after he was risen from the dead, and when they had dined, now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son, lovest thou me more than these?" He said to him, "Yea, Lord. Yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And the second time, verse 16, he said to him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, I wonder if Jesus was here this morning and every one of us faced him, and he would say, "Lovest thou me?" How would we answer that? What have you done this past week? What are you doing to help the church grow? Are you involved in the bus ministry and or in the Sunday school and nursery and that? What are you doing to help the church grow? What are you doing to sin that you love me? You know, there's a lot of people, you know, they get my age or even below 60. I could have retired 40 years old, worth $2 or $3 million or one or two. But I'm 70, going on 79. I've asked God to let me live another 10 years.
Amen.
I like to be like Caleb when I get to be about 80, 85. I like to say, "I want that mountain. I want to go down to Kentucky." I built one church down in Kentucky where I used to fold beer bottles and that in the shoot sign. I've got one church going down there. I'd like to build, like to get another mountain. I've offered a guy in Columbus, Ohio, George Bale.
Yeah.
I said, "Pick a mountain down there and I'll buy it for you and put you thought." He said, "God called me to the city." He speaks down at the church I started in the little town I'm from. And so, see, someday we're going to give account to Jesus, you see. And what would you say to him? And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Our Father, we pray your blessings now upon the next few minutes. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I can do nothing. I'm going to speak to the ears. I'm here for one purpose, dear God, and that is to brag on Jesus Christ. I'm here to share with the people what you did through an uneducated coal miner's life. I'm here to also, if there's somebody here that was in my position when I was 28 years old, they've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins and save them. I'm praying today would be the day that they'll do it. And let them come to know the happiness and joys that we who are Christians, we have. I'm a happy man, dear God, not because of the money. If it's money, I'd be in Hawaii today and under a palm tree. But that the happiness don't come from that. Happiness comes from knowing you and then serving you.
Yes.
And keeping our love life right toward you, dear Jesus. Now, because of the message today, may we examine our love and fall back in love more with Jesus Christ. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if we do love Christ, and there's a test for us to take. If we do say that we love Christ, our love life is right, there's a service test. A service test. Deuteronomy 10:12, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways," not some of his ways, "and to love him," there we go, "and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." See, there's a service test. And John 14:21, another. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments," that's the Bible, "and keepeth them, he is that loveth me." So one way that you can prove your love life, right, with God, that you're reading and obeying the Word of God. Amen. And "he that loveth me shall be loved." Now listen to this. I'm going to start over again. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father." If we love Jesus, be loved of my Father. Now, if I do something for one of your children, if one of your children's hungry, you find out about it and you have no money and I feed your children, you're going to love me. You see? And he said, "I will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." The better off, beloved, you are to my children, the better I am to you. One of my daughters in college down in South Carolina, and the car wouldn't start, and some maintenance man got her car started. Here I was 700 miles from her, couldn't do anything. I found out about it. I went to a nice restaurant down there. I sat down there and bought him a lot of gift certificates, $100 or $200 worth, and sent it to him. Just working man. He did something for my daughter. Now, when you and I do something for Jesus Christ, there's a God in heaven is going to notice that. And he notices it when we don't do it, you see. Romans 8:35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And so, therefore, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Paul's example of his love, God, he proved his service by what he did. Paul did. He said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me," you see. In Galatians 6:10, it says this, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." Now, there's one thing, when I promised God, if he let me make money, what I would do with it. And I was out knocking on the door one night, Pastor. I wasn't worth much money then. I was just getting started. And I knocked on this door and went in. A widow lived there by herself, and there's November up there. And the house was cold. And I said, "Your furnace not working?" She said, "Well, I'm out of fuel oil." She said, "I don't get my Social Security check for another 3 or 4 more days, and I don't have any money to put oil in there." I said, "Lady, if God lets me live till in the morning, I get to a phone, I'll fill that tank." Amen. I think that was a test that God put me through, see if I was going to help someone down and out. Amen. And so, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto the brethren of the household of faith." I can take your Bible and show you in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, 1 John. If we have this world's good, and we see our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and or see people that's poor, that has a need, and we don't help them, he said, "How dwelleth the love of God in you?" And so, if you want the blessings of God upon you, always have a listening ear at the cry of the poor. Psalm 41, "Blessed he that considers the poor, for the Lord shall deliver him out of the time of trouble." Right. And it also is rolling down there, in your language, he'll make up your bed for you. Yeah. God is, God desires. You know, when God wants to do something for a great, his family, he don't go to a rich man. God hunts some poor person to he can work through. You say, "I'm poor, I don't have anything." You're a prime candidate. You're who God's looking for.
Yeah.
He don't want to look for rich people to bless. See, he wants to have some bragging rights.
Amen.
What? Take an old coal miner out of Kentucky and bless him with what he did? See, he wants to have some bragging. I have nothing to brag about. But God does.
Amen.
You remember the story, Pastor, when Job was having a meeting with his family and that, and the devil appeared. You know, you haven't had a prayer. And he said, "Maybe it must end." And God said, "Have you considered my great servant Job?" In other words, God, hey, I won't show Job off. See, we won't show our children. You know when the first child we had? Well, we you come look at it. We, I say, it looks like me, don't it? No, the mama said it's like me. No, no, it's like me. Yeah. You know, we're real proud of it. That's how God is. God wants to take us in. He wants to make it. He wants to take a nobody and make a somebody out of you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Trouble is, a lot of you are lazy. You're too lazy to study the Bible and get to see what God's got for you.
Right.
I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me.
Yep.
Boy, I just wish somehow you could fall in love with Jesus enough. First thing you won't do in the morning, you wake up and you're back and say, God, this is another day. God, the old wicked devil's out there going to try to get me and wreck my home today and wreck my marriage and take my children. And God, I need you. Oh, God, break. God, please reveal. Give me wisdom and knowledge I need to raise my family for you. And God helped me to meet this bill and that. And God, I only had $20 left over. Mrs. Jones didn't have any groceries. And I bought her some groceries. Dear God, would you write? God, yeah, I have that written down. I'm going to get you a $100 pay raise. That's the way God works. But God's looking for some poor people. He's not looking for rich people way off. That he can, then he can show you off, you see. So he's not looking for someone all right. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all the men in the household of faith. So we prove to God that we love him by our service. Look, John 12, 38, and then took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly. Somebody said that ointment was a year's wages. And poured on his feet and dried her feet with her hair, you see. Wiped his feet with her hair. So therefore, as we have opportunity, how can I fall in love with Jesus? Like the woman that's had two mites. Pastor prayed me some comments about what God's done through my life. Boy, what when I get to heaven? And I said, but then I get to heaven. I said, oh, I'm going to do. I'm going to look up that woman that gave the two mites. I'm going to have dinner with her. She gave all she had. I didn't. I just gave her my abundance, you see. Huh? I'm going to look for the lady who gave all she had, just two mites. Huh? That's who I want to have dinner. See, God, isn't God great? He didn't record down anybody that gave $35 million, $37 million. He didn't really say that, but he talked about the widow that gave two mites. You see? Too much is given, much is expected. God would expect me to give. The only thing about it is a lot of Christians, he starts them up the ladder, and then they start going the wrong direction, and he just pulls the ladder down out off of them. Say, hey. And so I've seen so many businessmen get started, and God, and I'm going to be another Russell Anderson. They get so far up, and I tell you, there's temptations. Let me tell you, as I said in Sunday school, the old devil put all kinds of temptations, you know, but to try to trip you up. But I've seen them so much. Some men, I've thrown the ball to them, finances of working that, and get them up so high. And one boy I was talking about yesterday for $250,000 they make on a piece of land I had, and we built some houses there. Then he got to flirting with other women, better on his wife, and I fired him. Then he ended up in prison. But I'm not gonna run around with the ungodly. I don't care how much money, so I withdraw. I'm just seeing what happens a lot of times when God. So if you was to ask God, and God was starting, you're in business just starting, you write God a letter and say, here's what I will do if you'll bless. And then you check up on yourself. And you make God promises, make a vow to God. And so, but here he said, the woman who gave the two mites. And so, 1 Corinthians 3:13, and now abide of faith, hope, and charity, these three are, but the greatest is charity. That means the love. Pastor, I was down in, where was it? Mississippi. Mississippi, Alabama. One of the two. Yeah. I'm up somewhere every week about folks, so. A different church. I booked up. I moved somebody over to get here, to come here, and I'm glad I did too. I did get here because I'm booked up all this year, and so traveling to speak. I was down there, spoke on Sunday night, and I got down and saw some poor people there on the front row, and I sat down beside a teenage girl, about 16 years old, and so they was baptizing somebody that night, and some of the poor relatives came out, poorly dressed. I sat down beside this one teenager, and I said, "Have you been saved?" He said, "No." I said, "Let me show you how to be saved." I led her to Christ right there. And sitting beside her was a grown woman. She's nodding her head as I was giving the scripture. And then here come a little 9-year-old girl up, and she said, "I'm not saved." And I told her how to go to heaven. Poor, stringy hair, blonde, cute little girl. Her midriff was open here. Her soul shirt was on, a little pair of slacks here, and so all as they could be. I put my arm around that little girl. She got saved. I said, honey, I said, you made me a very happy man. Not only that, I said, you made Jesus happy. Let me hug you. And I hugged her, and tears rolled. She was starving to death for some love.
Amen.
I later on found out she come from a druggie's house. No love, no love shown to her. And so I said, I'm real proud of you. And I said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Open my pocketbook. I saw she pour the dresses on the people. Open my pocketbook. And I said, honey, here's your $20. I want you to take. By the way, when I said that, this woman said, this is my daughter here. And so then she said, I'm going to be baptized tomorrow night too. Two of the Adelaide, they come to get baptized.
Amen.
And I said, honey, here's a $20 bill. You stop down at McDonald's, you're going to take them out to dinner tonight. And I hugged, and she's going to lean on me to hug her again. And I hugged her again. And so she left. The next night, when they're going to be baptized, here come about 10 or 15 more poor people. And so there's some woman, she said, lost her husband. I saw her, had an old coat on. She'd been about 85, I guess. And you should have seen the way she dressed. And I slipped $100 in her hand. I said, don't tell anybody about this. And so then they were baptized that night. And I said, the next morning, pastor took me to the airport. And I said, pastor, I said, I noticed a lot of poor people here on the front row. I said, I didn't get to talk to them last night. But I said, there's a great opportunity there to reach them for Christ. I said, pull over this McDonald's here. I said, what you got in mind? I said, pull over. I went in and I bought all those $5 gift certificates. I normally carry them. I got some with me in my other coat pocket. And so I said, pull over. I bought, I wanted $105 worth of coupons, $5. I want you to take this back to Bridget. That's her name, Bridget. I want you to get that little 9-year-old girl and all those poor, tell her to invite her relatives out next Sunday night. They just come see them baptized, that she's going to take them to McDonald's for dinner. And I said, I bought what they had, and then I gave them enough money to make, I think they had $65.70. They gave them another $35. And so she invited her poor relatives out the next Sunday night, and she took them to McDonald's. They had something like $30 left for her, and the pastor said they tithe on what that left to me. But see, Jesus died for them just like he did for us. I'm constantly looking. You want God? I'm constantly looking for some poor person. If the pastor comes to me, he has to go through the pastor, because I know people drives Cadillac would take me up on that. If you tell me somebody that needs groceries in here, and you watch this checkbook, you start by flying. I'll buy you groceries. You know why? I want the blessing of God upon my life. That's one way that you prove that you love Jesus. And so, it's by proving. And so, I heard the story once. And so, time's about up, and I'm going to tell this. I'll be closing just in a few minutes. And so, there's a very wealthy man in Europe. I read it. I got the coupon. I clipped it out here. That he was a very wealthy man. At a childbirth, his wife died, and he had to hire a housekeeper to raise his little boy, and she raised him for 21 years. She was the only mother he knew. She was interested and took and suddenly then the boy took sick and died. Then it said, then the man later on, he grieved himself that he died, was very wealthy, had a lot of wealthy, expensive pictures, art, and rugs and things, and they couldn't find the will. He died, and so they were going to auction it all off. And that woman that raised this little boy, she said, I don't have much money, but there's one thing I'd like to buy if it's not too high. And she went, and when they began the bidding, and then come to this little boy's picture, the boy she'd raised, you know. And so nobody but wanted it, and she bid just a little old firm. She got the picture. And she took it home, Pastor, and it was dusty and tarnished, and she took that picture apart, the face off of it, and began to dust it, and out fell some papers. And she picked those papers up, and they looked legal, and she took it to the attorney, and he said, lady, you'll never have to work another day in your life, because the man left in, that's his man's will, and he said, whoever loves my son enough to buy that picture gets all my estate. Mr. Anderson, tell me how I can fall in love with Jesus. Tell me how I can do it. They said, another illustration. There's an opera singing Broadway singer by the name of Mary Martin. And she lived in the day that Oscar Hammerstein lived. And you know, anybody knows anything about music knows who Hammerstein is. And he was on his deathbed, and that night Mary was performing. Crowds would come from miles around to hear her sing. And he wrote her on that letter, a little note. And it was handed to her right before she went on to sing, and here's what the note said. Dear Mary, a bell is not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song till you sing it. Love in your heart is not put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. They said after her performance that night, people rushed to the stage and said, Mary, we've heard you for years. We've never heard anything like this here before. You did your best tonight. I never heard what happened. What happened in your life? And she handed them the note, said, here's what I had right before I went on. A bell is not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song till you sing it. Love in your heart is not put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. And she said, tonight I gave my love away. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, beloved, if you're in here and you're not saved, you don't know where you was at when you got saved, you're not saved, let me tell you something. God loved you so much, he let Jesus die on the cross for your sins. And the reason why you're not saved is because you never asked him. I got married because I asked my wife to marry me. I get on airplanes because I call and make reservations in advance. And when I get to the airport, a lot of planes are full of that. I got a reservation. Got me. See, I already called because I made a reservation. And the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Now, listen to what Jesus said. He made it so simple that an old, uneducated coal miner could understand. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, I can understand that, can't you?
Amen.
If we're going to go through heaven, it's not through a Baptist church, remember a Baptist church, or any church. Not through baptism. It's not through money. You can't buy one sin away. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, Jesus loved you enough to where he died for you, and he wants to save you, but he won't get you and force you. You have to do it from the heart.
Yes.
And the old devil will fight you, give you all kinds of reasons. I'm telling you, you don't know what happiness is until you get saved.
Yep.
I had to get up and walk down that aisle one day, and I asked Jesus to forgive me my sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he wants to save you. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, if you are saved, I'd like to ask you a question. What are we doing? Why don't we get involved in church? If I'm 79, going on 79 years old, and going day and night and preaching six times a week, I preach more than 90% of the preachers do. If I can do that and travel day and night, at least can't you help the church some?
Amen.
Yeah, what are you doing? Don't sit soaking sour. I'm sick and tired of seeing people 60 years old. I'm going to retire. Well, you can retire, I'm going to refire.
Amen. Huh? Amen.
God can use an old man just as well as he could a young man.
Yep. Yep.
And I believe God's going to use me to do something great for him, greater than he ever has.
Amen.
Because I'm going to continue to serve him. I know he loves me. I know he wants the best for him. For it I know him is his will. Can you say that? Our Father, we pray your blessings now upon the invitation. God, there need to be decisions made. We need to rededicate our love. As a wife went into the man, her husband in my apartment, honey, you love me? You haven't told me in a long time you love me. It's time we're letting Jesus know how much we love him now. With their heads bowed now, nowhere looking around, how many say, Mr. Anderson, if I died today, I know beyond a shadow, I know I'd go to heaven. I know where I was at and I got saved. If so, would you raise your hand? I know. Raise your hand. All over. That's it. I know. Yes, I see the hands. You may put them down. Now, how many would say, Mr. Anderson, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know where I was at when I asked Jesus to save me. But I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If I get saved, family gets saved, I can influence friends. How many say, here's my hand, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Is there one? Is there somebody? Is God speaking to your hearts? How's your love life? With their heads bowed down, no one looking around. How many say, Brother Anderson, I'm saved. I love Jesus, but I'm afraid I faltered a little bit. I've not been expressing my love or showing how it is, but I'm going to be more faithful in the future. I want people to know that I love Jesus Christ more than what I've been demonstrating. So would you raise your hand? All right, that's it. Raise them up. I want Jesus to know. I want to help the poor people out. I want to be used of God. Our Father, we've seen the hands. Dear God, it's one thing about making a decision back there, but it's another one to come to the altar and tell you about it. I pray, dear God, in the invitation, as we stand, those who raise their hands and the invitation start the music, they'll leave their seats and come to the aisle, come to the altar. As the music begins to play, let's all stand. Right there, why don't you come to the altar now and tell Jesus, I want my life to count more for you. Brother Anderson made it very plain. I want to renew my love to you. I'm rededicating my life for you. If you can use somebody like Russell Anderson, you sure use me. But it takes, how's your love life to Jesus? That's it. Why don't you come? Now, God doesn't mean let me tell you, why don't you come? Why don't we just make it? We get saved one time, we never walk an aisle again. It's time that we let people know. Why don't you, my Jesus, I love you. Why don't you let Jesus, why don't you come? That's it. There's a whole working. Why don't you come now? You wish you had when you get home. How's your love life? Lovest thou me more than these? Jesus asked Peter. Mr. Anderson, how can I fall in love with Jesus again? How can I fall in love with him the way you are? Have? Pastor.
People are praying. Why don't you come and pray? There's room. You just come. Let me say this to you. You're here, and some of you don't really know if you died, you'd go to heaven or hell. Can I say this to you? If you're not saved, you could walk out these doors and get in a car accident and go out in eternity unprepared to meet God. I've shared this before, and I'll share it again. Years ago, Dr. Tom Malone up in Pontiac, Michigan, he brought a message and he begged people to be saved. This one couple in the back held on to the pew, but they wouldn't come forward. And then he saw them write something in the back of the songbook. They never came forward. They went out that day unprepared to meet God. Later that afternoon, one of the members called Dr. Tom Malone and said, "Sir, do you remember that couple that sat near the back? They went out, they visited our church today. They went out and they got in their car and another man ran a light and they were killed. Both of them were killed." Tom Malone ran, got back to the church, went searching that back of that pew and looked at that songbook. They wrote something in that songbook, and then one kid, he saw the writing, "I'll take my chances." He took his chance and he went to hell. Don't you be a fool. This man drove 4 hours yesterday, going on 79 years old, just to tell you that Christ loves you. He's paid us. He pays all the expenses. We don't give him a penny. He comes and he pays everything. You say, why'd he come? He came to be a blessing. He didn't want nothing from us. He wants to give to us. He wants to be a blessing to your life. Yeah. You heard it and you've never trusted Christ. If you don't know if you died right now where you'd go, we're going to sing one more verse. What page are you on, Mark? I want you to come with every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. And I promise I won't embarrass you. But with a crowd this size, there's got to be people. There's got to be people that really don't know if they die, they go to heaven. And you'd say, "Preacher, just pray for me. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me." Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Let me see it. Let me pray for you. pray for me? Just lift it up. Yes, yes. I see that hand. Who else? Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I had a man yesterday. Rose and I were out door knocking. God, that's God's way of doing it, sir. Just keep on knocking on them doors. And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you better know, because if you die without Christ, I don't think people see the urgency of hell. Christians, we need to show people there's an urgency about being saved. Don't leave this church unless you're saved. I'm not trying to make a Baptist out of you. I'm trying to get you saved and the blood of Christ applied to you so when you die, you don't go to hell forever and ever and ever and ever. No turning back. And by the way, there ain't enough prayers, enough candles they can light, enough money they can give to get you out of hell. Once you go, you're there forever. There's no turning back. I told that one man, another man, sir, I said, sir, there's a heaven and there's a hell. You don't know Christ, your Savior, you're going to hell. You say, well, that's pretty bold, preacher. You know what? It's about time we start telling people the truth. Yes. Too much sugarcoating. You heard today, if you don't want to go to hell, I'd come up and get Christ as my Savior. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about making Christ your Savior. What page are you on, Mark? 306. We're going to sing one more verse. You come right now. Lord, help those that raise their hand to come. You come right now. Just come right now. Just come right now. You want to come? You come. You want to come and get saved? You come. Come right now. Come right now.